Good evening. I call this December 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Boziger. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. My pleasure to welcome you tonight. This is a public meeting and you're encouraged to take part. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting and ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call, please step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hands. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, but keep track of it. We'll keep track of the time for you so you can keep track of your, what you're going to say. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits. I will now call for a roll call of members.
Boziger?
Here.
Haluska?
Here.
Pounds?
Here.
Katie?
Here.
Huber?
Here.
Radner?
Here.
Schroeder? Boswell? Heinrich?
Here.
Heinrich.
Approval of the minutes from the November 2024 meeting.
Motion to approve November 5th, 2024 minutes as presented.
Second. Oh, sorry.
Who did it?
I'll second.
Motion by Radner, second by Huber to approve the minutes. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Chairman, I will open a public hearing to consider an ordinance adopting an updated future land use map for tax lots 32, 40A, 59, 60, and 276 in Section 7, Township 18 North, Range 12, all east of the 6 p.m. Morrison County, Nebraska, changing SHM, which is a mobile home district, use to industrial use. Jeff.
Good evening, commissioners. So your first four considerations tonight are all interrelated. This has to do with the Longview Mobile Home Park, the marina, and those properties in the industrial area that we started discussing back in the summer. We've finally come to kind of a consensus, and we'll be moving our way forward to the first four. Each one is set in order that one needs to pass for the other to pass as we go on. We've been working with the Longview Mobile Home Park parties and such. I think we've all come to a fairly decent agreement on how we want things to work out. And in the end, if everything does pass, I think everybody should be happy, not only Longview, but Stephen Cook with the Marina Inn and the staff for the future of that area. So if for your first consideration is updating the future land use map, this needs to be done in order to make the following changes as we get through the following items. Currently, we're talking about this area on the far eastern part, right before we get to Iowa. These tax sites right now are zoned for Mobile Home Park, but there are also several tax lots that are already zoned for industrial use. Again, this is a future land use map, not the current one. The five tax lots we'll be talking about need to be updated and changed to industrial use in order to make the following items as we come to change in the current, and then an overlay, and then a conditional use permit. But one thing at a time. Again, current future land use map. This does show right here the mobile home park, labeled residential mobile home. Not all of the area of belongs is included in this, just these different five tax lots. Here's an overview without the zoning overlay. You can see the different tax lots here, the mobile homes as they are now, and these little pieces of slivers, tax lots that are in there. Afterwards, if everything does pass, the future land use map will now all be industrial. You'll see it coincides with everything else in the area around it. With that, is there any questions on this update to the future land use map?
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience like to speak on this issue of future land use map? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, John Bachman, B-A-C-H-M-A-N, 10330 Regency Parkway Drive in Omaha. I'm here on behalf of Longview Mobile Home Park. We are in agreement with the overlay and the new zoning that is being proposed. Item number 7 is the most important for us, which is the conditional use permit. I'm trying to do all my presentation for this issue, for this item agenda, and the conditional use permit will permit Longview Mobile Home Park to continue to operate in its current status. Be glad to have any questions.
Yes. Thank you. Does anyone else like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I make a motion that we approve it as presented.
Seconded.
Been a motion to consider the ordinance, adopting it as presented by Pounds, seconded by Radner. Any further discussion? Please vote.
Commission members voting aye, Huber, Pounds, Radner, Bozinger, Heinrich, Pileska, abstaining, Kading.
So this ordinance will go to the, when will this be come up on the council? Because we're missing.
This will be next week.
This is going to come up next week?
December, we are jumping back to our following council meeting after planning commission.
Okay, so next week it will come to the council. Okay. I will move this here. I will open a public hearing. This is something that got tabled from the June 4th meeting. I'll open a public hearing to consider a rezoning application submitted by the City of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, for tax lots 25, 32, 40A, 59, 60, 212, and 276, all in Section 7, Township 18 North, Range 12 East of the 6 p.m., and tax lot 24 in Section 8, Township 18 North, Range 12 East of the 6 p.m., all in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 590 Longview Drive, to rezone from SHM, which is Mobile Home District, to AMH, which is Agricultural Heavy Industrial and Manufacturing District. Jeff.
Thank you. So next up for your consideration is the changing of the actual zoning map, the current one. Again, the property located on the east edge of Blair, southeast of 30, currently SHM, changed to AMH. This is a staff-oriented change. This zoning request from staff was based on the assessment that the highest and best use of this property is for heavy industrial. The designation aligns with surrounding properties, which are already AMH. We've done this in consultation with the parties involved, which would be the Longview, and again, we think as we work through these, it's going to be beneficial for not only for the city, but for Longview Mobile Home Park. Here's our area again, the eastern part, and this time all the area in here, SHM, does include these tax lots that were a couple of these were previously zoned in a future land use map as heavy industrial. Now they're all zoned for industrial. Future land use map now includes all industrial. We have commercial here, some residential in this area, and a quasi-public at the upper end. This is what everything looks like right now. This shows the Mobile Home Park designation. The other properties in AMH would be Food Liner here, Blair Marina at 600, Missouri Valley Assets here, and then Kelly Ryan at the top. If everything passes, you'll see that everything is now one contiguous heavy industrial area. With that, any questions on this next step?
Thank you, Jeff. Does anyone in the audience want to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I'll make a motion to approve the application as presented.
Second.
Motion by Huber, second by Heinrich, to approve the rezone application as submitted. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Huber, Pounds, Radner, Bozinger, Heinrich, Pileska, abstaining, Kading.
Okay, that'll go to the city council next week then. I'll open a public hearing to consider a rezoning application submitted by the City of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, adding Article 10, Section 1010, a special mixed-use heavy industrial district, SMH, as an overlay on tax lots 25, 32, 40A, 45, 59, 60, 81, 212, and 276 on Section 7, Township 18 North, Range 12 East of the 6 p.m. Jeff.
Thank you again. If you remember from last month, the creation of the heavy industrial overlay that included a restaurant with no drive-in and a mobile home park. How about that, Aaron? Multitasking. The SMH overlay was created and quite specifically just for these two areas. It was approved by City Council last month after the Planning Commission's recommendation earlier in the month. Again, the intent of that SMH overlay is to allow some of these two specific unique areas that have been there for a long time that we don't necessarily want to displace. We also want to make sure that we have all of the future zoning set for at any time if it does sell, it changes hands. Part of 10103, anything permitted in heavy industrial is permitted in this overlay. The two exceptions are the restaurants and associated parking, again excluding drive-in restaurants, and then mobile homes and mobile home parks set forth with section 1001, which is the section in the zoning book that allows mobile home parks. Anyway, this is what they're following. This is what the Longview Trailer Home has been following. What's going to happen is this overlay is put into this area on these tax lots, including the Blair Marina and Longview. It will give them a chance to apply for a conditional use permit to get them out of that grandfathered status and actually have it by right. And by right means that if something happens to either of the properties, they can rebuild. In the grandfathered status, if something happens to more than 51% of the property, you cannot rebuild as the current use is going on. Mr. Cook, I was talking to him today, is very happy about this too. He had not quite realized that for the last dozen years, his restaurant had been a non-conforming use. And if something would have happened to it, more than likely he would not have been able to rebuild. He will be applying for a conditional use permit at the next Planning Commission. So again, we're talking about the area including the Brailler Arena and the Longview Home. Now this includes all of the properties that does have mobile homes on, including these parts here. You'll see the areas outside of the mobile home park are not included in this overlay. Current zoning, all heavy industrial. Here's a shot of different patch lots, all the little slivers in there, parking up there, the marina in here, and then all of the Longview mobile home park there. Any questions on this overlay? Again, we are just putting this onto these tax lots. It will be there for two uses and two uses only. And those uses have to be addressed separately and will be the next item for one of them. Any questions?
I got one.
Yes.
With the overlay that you're kind of looking at putting on these, if they decide to sell, does the overlay stay in place then? Like, or does that?
Yes, the overlay, any conditional use permit, unless It is, unless you say it should not, but usually the conditional use permits run with the land. Now, you could say, you know, okay for whatever years, or you could also say for every years, or if you don't want it to go to another mobile home park and want it to end right there with just this business, you can make that sort of stipulation also. Right. It's really kind of up to the planning commission.
But you're talking about like a conditional use permit. I'm asking about like the overlay.
Oh, the overlay will stay there, yes.
Okay.
The overlay is already in place, correct?
It is not in place. That's what we're doing now.
Okay.
And I jumped ahead of myself. Sorry about it, Mr. Pounds. Yeah, okay. The overlay will be there until it's taken off.
I guess I'm kind of, I'm kind of curious on that because let's say they sell the mobile home park to some industry thing.
Okay.
Is this overlay sitting on this, does it automatically go away or do we have to take it away?
No, the use will always be there. If something, and that is the reason we wanted to put the base layer future and current into heavy industrial. If somebody looks at one of these properties and they're looking for industrial use, they already know what they can do with this land. It's already spelled out in the zoning book. If you meet all the uses of heavy industrial, you'll be able to buy the land and start right there. You will not have to remove this overlay because the overlay itself just guarantees that there's a mobile home park and a restaurant. If you don't have a mobile home park or a restaurant, then you have to follow whatever's in AMH itself.
So the overlay can just stay there and don't matter?
It can just stay there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Staff? Thank you. Is there any comments from the floor that would like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Motion to approve as presented the rezoned overlay application submitted by the city and recommended the ordinance be followed by the Blair City Council for final review and approval.
I'll second that.
Motion by Radner, second by Pounds to approve the rezone application as submitted. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Huber, Pounds, Radner, Boziger, Heinrich, and Pleska. Abstaining, Kading.
So that will also go to the City Council?
Yes.
On next Tuesday. Okay. Okay. I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit application submitted by Longview Mobile Home Park, 590 Longview Drive, Blair, Nebraska, to allow the continuation of a mobile home park on tax lots 25, 32, 48, 59, 60, 212, and 276, all in Section 7, Township 18 North, Range 12 East of the 6 p.m., and Tax Lot 24 in Section 8, Township 18 North, Range 12 East of the 6 p.m., all in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 590 Longview Drive, for 20 years.
Yes, thank you. So in the final part of this is the conditional use permit requested by Longview Mobile Home Park. The conditional use permit will let them proceed as a permitted use, things as they are now. There won't be any interruption in the way things are working for them, and they do have some protections if something does happen in the park and they can rebuild as such. It also allows for the base underlying AMH to be there, so if it ever is sold and somebody again wants to buy it for that AMH use, it's already zoned for that. And we're talking about this part of the city. Part of Section 1010, the overlay that was just put on, it does say mobile home and mobile home parks need to have a conditions permit. They did request 20 years. 20 years seems like a reasonable time. If there are stipulations that the commission would like it to end with, so it can't be transferred and run with the land, it's up to the commission's prerogative to state that. This picture of the mobile home park this last summer. Again, current zoning is all AMH. And here's a shot of the conditional use permit of properties who have fallen into that area. A little tighter shot showing all the tax lots. again, areas surrounding would remain outside of the conditional use permit. This will, again, give them some protections for their mobile home park and their lots in there. Any questions for the on the conditional use permit?
Do you ever receive any complaints or anything?
We've received complaints, not with the zoning or anything like that. We've periodically have received complaints on maybe some conditions of the mobile home, stuff like that. They have addressed them through the property maintenance. They've had people working on them. Nothing or any comments from the public on any sort of rezoning or any, nobody's saying that it's got to go away. Just some complaints on property maintenance throughout the years.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Thank you. Anybody from the audience want to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public meeting and see what the commission would like to do.
Make a motion to approve the CUP application as presented.
Second it.
Motion by Huber, second by Radner to approve the conditional use as presented. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Huber, Pounds, Radner, Boziger, Heinrich, Poleska, abstaining, Kading.
So will this also go to the two in 1 week? Okay, next week. Okay. I'll open a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning regulations, Article 5, Agricultural Districts, by adding Section 502 Transitional Agricultural TA District. The purposes and objectives of the Transitional Agricultural District are to preserve land that has become urban and suburban in nature but still has select agricultural uses. The Transitional Agricultural District is for unplatted and undeveloped land suited for eventual development. Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. Phil Green, City Administrator. Good to be able to be here tonight and kind of present this. If you recall, just last month, we had an annexation package that was before you. Again, the Planning Commission's role when it comes to annexations is to look at them and just make sure that they're in conformance with the city's long-term comprehensive plan. And you went ahead and approved that last month. During the testimony, though, that was given, there were some public comments that were made regarding some of the processes that the city normally goes through. And so Aaron's going to go ahead and bring up the PowerPoint. But our standard practice in the past has been that when we annex properties, if they're still zoned as regular ag, that we would rezone those properties that come inside the city limits to something different than just ag, because traditional general ag is not really a property use that's normally intended for inside the city limits. The testimony that was given last month, though, was that by simply rezoning to a different zoning district, that's going to increase the base value of the property, and therefore, not only if it comes into the city limits where there'd be the city levy that they end up paying taxes on, but really all of the taxing entities end up getting more taxes than they currently are, simply because the base value of the property changes. And obviously that's not the intent of the city to have that happen. We took the opportunity then to go down and talk to the county assessor's office just to try to verify from them exactly how they do handle that. And that was confirmed that that is their approach, that based on state statute, there's one valuation formula, if you will, for agricultural properties. And then once it's zoned anything other than agricultural, they start basing it on a square footage valuation, depending upon what the zoning is and what kind of development has been done on the property. But it's always going to be more than what that base ag value is. Again, as the city, going back to the Housing Advisory Committee, is being a little bit more proactive with some of our annexations and therefore zoning, rezoning of some of those properties that might get annexed, we understood what the concerns of the property owners were, took that to heart, sat down, had some conversation, had some further conversation with the assessor's office, and one of the things that we came up with was, and we've seen other communities do this, so we didn't generate this idea all on our own, was to develop a different kind of a zoning district In our particular situation here, we're calling it transitional agricultural. And it's intended for those areas that are still undeveloped, that are being used for agricultural purposes, that are not platted lots, and so they're still either tax lots or perhaps they're full quarter sections. But for those particular areas, if they're being used for agricultural purposes, that we could potentially rezone them to transitional ag, and I'll kind of explain all the details of the transitional ag district here in a second. But basically, it allows the city to really accomplish what it was that we're looking to do when it comes to these more proactive annexations, which is to protect that area that's close to town, that's urban and suburban in nature, which is the statutory language for areas that can be annexed, and is ready for development. We're not forcing development. We also don't want to stop necessarily the agricultural use that's being done right now, but we do want to protect those areas to make sure that what I just kind of call expanded agricultural use, much larger facilities, some kind of an ag-based system different than just the farming that potentially could go on, or the animal husbandry that oftentimes is being done in some of these areas. And so as I show you this, the details of this TA district, transitional ag district, you can kind of see that. But basically our approach is, again, based on what the assessors have told us, that this would allow them to keep that valuation the same, and yet it does protect that area from increased agricultural development and keeps it there in that kind of situation, potentially ready for further development. If you would approve this and recommend this tonight, what we're going to do is we'll send this actual language then over to the assessor's office, have them take a look at it before next week's city council meeting. I'm sure they can't necessarily guarantee that everything would be fine, but we're asking them just to basically take a look at this, and would they agree that generally this could still be then considered ag property, and therefore the real base valuation wouldn't change at all. So here's the fancy language that the chairman read about the TA district. Really, again, it's intended to help control expanded agricultural use in these areas, because these areas seem ready for more urbanized development, intended for areas that are urban and suburban in nature and are transitioning from ag to either a residential, commercial, industrial use, depending upon where they happen to be in the city with the future land use map. And that's why that future land use map is always so important, based on those three uses. But we have every intention for them to be able to continue to use that land for agricultural purposes if they desire to do that. Again, we specify in the language of the district that it's intended to be for unplatted lots and undivided quarter-quarter sections only. If someone was to come in with their parcels and want to develop it, that's great. We'll work with them. It'll get platted. But part of the arrangement with them is that once you do the platting, you're going to also have to be applying for a rezone of some kind. Again, whether residential, commercial, industrial, depending upon where it's located. We also specifically call out a reminder, which this is true, even if we didn't say it, but we're saying it very clearly here in this section, that according to Article 12, our non-conforming uses, any agricultural use that currently exists right now that maybe wouldn't be allowed to start there if it was TA, the transitional ag already, if it's existing, it can continue to exist as a non-conforming use. And we don't intend to stop anybody from doing anything that they're doing on their properties right now. A couple images off the city's GIS, just kind of gives you a sense. The colors primarily are inside the city limits, as you can see, and these are all the various different zoning districts. And then the vast majority of the property that's outside the city limits right now is ag. And it's always been that way. One of the things we talked about with that housing advisory committee is the potential, at least when it comes to properties that are close to the city and potential to be annexed sometime, maybe we should consider rezoning some of these properties. And we had been intending to do that until we found out again that it would greatly affect the valuation of those properties, even if it wasn't in the city limits, if we rezoned it to something else. Again, we're hoping that the assessor's office then agrees with us that this transitional ag doesn't change the base value at all, but it does begin to preserve some of these areas, because it's really that buffer that's near the city limits that we're trying to help protect. The areas that are, you know, way outside the ring, if you will, close to the edge of our 2-mile zoning jurisdiction, is not a great concern for us. But even if we did decide to rezone some of these areas to that transitional ag, it doesn't stop them from the current use that's going on right now. Zooming in a little bit more closely into the area regarding the Hollow Road bypass area, again, it's properties to the north and properties to the south that are being looked at as being brought into the city limits. Right now, all of this is zoned agricultural, so is this area agricultural, and it's kind of highlighted right now, potentially, to be this transitional ag. We would actually do all of this area as transitional ag. And one of the things that this would allow us to do is, actually, there's two parcels over here, one currently inside the city limits, one not yet in the city limits, that are both zoned a different kind of residential district. If we rezone both of those, because they're not developed at all, and they're not platted lots, they're just tax lots, if we rezone those back to transitional ag, it might actually drop the value of those properties, which would be a benefit to those property owners. And again, it doesn't really limit us at all on anything that we're trying to do, because our intent is city limits, urban, suburban in nature, therefore kind of ready for any kind of development that may occur sometime in the future. And then again, we'd replat these, or not replat, rezone these lots as well to this transitional ag. So any questions on the map? Otherwise, I'll take just a couple minutes and show you some of the language in the transitional ag district. Okay. Aaron, just want to flip back then to Spark. And then if you would open up Exhibit B redline copy. So there's two different exhibits there. As is pretty standard in our zoning book, and I know, you know, many of you don't read it all the time. Depends on, you know, if you're up late at night and need to go to sleep, you know, sooner, you know, read it and you'll go to sleep. But there's different large sections. The 500 section deals with agricultural use, then 700 begins to deal with residential uses, and so there's a chapter or a section 701, 702, 703, 704 for the different kind of residential uses. Well, currently, as of right today, there's only one section in Article 5 that deals with agricultural, and it's 501, which is the general ag. This would now add 502, this other kind of ag, but transitional ag. And the red line use shows you, if it's red and underscored, then that's language that's being added to that particular section. If it's red and crossed out, then that's language that's being taken out or would ultimately be removed. Actually, what we did then was we took the current 501 and basically copied it over and then made edits to that. And so we're using our general ag as kind of the base and then limiting it, because that's really what we're trying to do, is control and limit the expanded use of agricultural. So in this opening intent section, pretty much state what the chairman had read earlier at the beginning, what the intent and purpose is for this. And again, it says right here in here that non-conforming uses are allowed to continue on as they are today. So I'm not trying to limit anybody's use, but we are trying to just control expanded agricultural use. Well, as you slide down a little bit, Aaron, we get into, again, what we call the permitted uses. Permitted uses are uses that are allowed by right. They don't have to come get any kind of special use permit from the city or anything like that. You can just simply do that on that property. And obviously the first one is and continues to be various forms of agriculture. Now again, this is the production of crops, the production of vegetation of some kind, or animal husbandry. Even though it just talks generally about any form of agriculture, this doesn't necessarily imply chicken barns or places where there'd be large concentrations of animals inside of a barn. It's intended to be open fields where animals can roam as they choose to. And again, we've historically always had this definition that talks about conforming to one animal unit per acre. And so if you had a 40-acre quarter-quarter section, technically you wanted to have cattle roam on that area, you could have up to 40 head on that particular section. Because our definition is, you know, one cow per acre is what we call this one animal unit. If you did have chickens or if you had rabbits or something like that, obviously there's more animals that you could have per acre, but they're all defined actually in our zoning regulations on what, quote, one animal is per acre. So we leave that other than fisheries. And we took out the fisheries because you're not going to find just bare ground that you can generally do a fishery on. It implies a building probably of some kind of development. And again, that's what we're trying to avoid, is expanded residential uses in that buffer area or the areas that we might rezone to transitional ag. But the other kinds of uses you can have. Still can have single family dwellings. You can still have irrigation and flood control projects, and that could be a variety of things. Anything from a farmer just wanting to put irrigation pipes on his property, build a pond, something like that, to actually then needing to control some flood mechanisms, work with the NRD, something like that. All of that would still be allowed by right. Doesn't have to come get anything from the city. And then finally, signage. And this is in all of our zoning sections because 1114 deals with signs based on what zoning district it is. If this would be approved by the City Council, we'll make some changes then to 1114 and a couple other sections that refer to the various different zoning districts. And once the TA one might get created, then we come back to you with just some of those minor tweaks to add that in those sections. Question?
So on the single-family dwellings.
Yep.
So according to this writing then, if someone's got land in a TA and they want to build a new house, they can do it.
Correct. Correct. They can do it automatically as long as there's no other residential property on that lot. And again, keep in mind we're dealing with lots as lots of record. It could either be a tax lot or it could be a quarter-quarter section. So technically, you take a large quarter-quarter section, roughly 40 acres, you could build one house on that area because it's one lot. And so we could allow just the one house. Now, we have another section, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes. There's a language that's always been in Blair's book as long as I've been around, that if you have a lot of record that is larger than 13 acres and it's never had a homestead broken off on it, then you can do that once on that particular parcel. And you could break off a 3-acre tract as long as the remainder is greater than 10 acres. And so we don't try to restrict those quarter-quarter sections that may be owned by somebody, and then they want to put a farmstead there, or they want to have some kind of structure there for one of the family members. You can still do that if it's never had that one added to it. And the city, and we're not unique to doing that, did that years ago, you know, in our ETJ, and the ETJ exists so we can kind of help control zoning so that eventually as the city grows and gets to those locations, you don't have sporadic houses that are in, you know, random particular areas. If you want to take a quarter-quarter section and develop it for residential use, that's great. We can work with them on that. It could be a rural residential estate development. It could be something else, you know, depends on what kind of utilities are available and all that.
I think that's what the county does too, the very same thing.
Correct.
Got to keep at least 10 acres.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard. And part of it is because state statute stipulates that whenever you take a large parcel and break it into pieces, they call that subdividing. Obviously makes sense. But that kind of subdividing isn't necessarily a subdivision. A subdivision right. tends to be individual lots that are platted and laid out of certain sizes depending on what kind of the use is. State statute basically says municipalities can't control the subdividing of property if the end result acres are all greater than 10 acres in size. So that's why that magical 10.01 number comes into play every once in a while. And so theoretically, you could have somebody who owns a 40-acre tract and they can't break it into four 10-acre tracts without it becoming a subdivision, but they could break it into three greater than 10.01s, and they can just do that automatically. Those become lots of record, and then they can turn right around and sell each of those as long as there's public access to each of them, and then somebody could build a house on them. So yeah, those 10-acre tracts, you know, are kind of a magic number. So the rest of these, again, because what we're intending to do is to limit the kind of other additional agricultural use somebody might do in this TA area, all the rest of these permitted uses that could have been done just automatically without permission have been taken out. We're not saying you can't do those things, but if you wanted to do those things for some reason, come in and talk to us, and we're going to recommend you need to plat that property then and subdivide it, go through the subdivision process, and then it's going to be rezoned to something that would be more appropriate. Okay. So TA is just there temporarily to kind of control that additional agricultural use until somebody's ready to develop their land. Then you get into the next area that deals with what's called accessory uses and structures. No matter what the zoning is, there's always things that just kind of go along with those things that aren't going to be treated in a weird way. And usually we deal with that as detached garages or small accessory sheds, some things like that. This is the section where that language usually falls into place. And again, we simply state that accessory uses and structures that are normally that go along with other permitted uses and structures are going to be permitted. We took out some of this language here that deals with the number of buildings. In general ag, we don't limit the number of buildings that somebody might want to have. They oftentimes have, you know, other equipment, extra things that they need to be able to do. That's great. We're a little concerned though that if it's in a TA area and therefore we're trying to limit continued growth, that maybe we should limit that. If we put that on someone's property and they feel like that's a real burden for them, they can always come back and request to have it rezoned again back to ag. And if there's a reason that ultimately you need to make a recommendation on and that city council at the time says, yes, we agree with you, it really should be just general ag, it could get rezoned, and then they could go ahead and build, you know, all those other buildings that they might want to be able to use. We took out home occupations, added it in as an exception, it's going to be in the next section, and then roadside stands for the sale of agricultural products. So again, we're not trying to limit somebody's use of their property for agricultural purposes, and if they want to be able to sell some of their product there on site, they can go ahead and do that. Then the next section that we usually have is the exceptions, and this is where your conditional use permits come into play. And so every conditional use is taking advantage of one of the options that's here as an exception that they can come in and ask for. We moved home occupation into this area. Now again, a home occupation is not necessarily the accountant who just works from home or something like that. That isn't even considered to be a home occupation as far as our zoning is concerned. Home occupations are those unique businesses that exist in a home that either have a one or two employees come to that location, work out of there, or they occasionally have people come to that property for, you know, picking up supplies or something like that. So there's some clear definition in our zoning regulations on what a home occupation is. If it's too big and if there's too much activity, you can't even qualify then as a home occupation. It's a regular business. And so home occupations kind of exist in this interesting sliver between just working at home, as you know many people do, and really doesn't interrupt anybody, and there's no greater traffic to your house, but it's not a full-blown business either. It's a home occupation. If it qualifies to be a home occupation, now in this transitional ag area, they just have to simply come and get a conditional use permit, which is what we do in all of our residential districts. Any home occupations that those people want to have in a residential district has to come with a conditional use permit. All the other than exceptions, again, we've pulled out. For the same reason, we're trying to limit, again, the use of these expanded agricultural purposes. If they want to do some of these things, that's great. Come talk to us. But again, the route then would be plat the property. It'll get rezoned, and then you can move forward and do the kind of development you want to do. Aaron, go on. It goes all the way down. There's one other exception. I think it was 16 in here. Single family residences, this is kind of a unique one based on ag, but again, it's single family residences, including mobile homes, for farm residents that are adjacent to the principal farm for occupation by relatives of consanguinity, which basically means by blood, relatives by blood or marriage, or for farmhands employed on the premise. The whole idea is, again, if you're farming there and it's agricultural and you have farmhands and you want to give them the opportunity to live on site, you can still do that. And so we would still allow that. It's going to be done by conditional use permit, because again, you always think about conditional use permits mean that it should be able to be done someplace, but not necessarily every place. And so you and the council would have the ability to say, hey, that's great, I know you want to put a structure, but let's put it over here instead of in this location. That might be better for future development and less impediment to others. And then finally, family daycares, group daycare homes, and then daycare centers all continue to be allowed by a conditional use permit, so they can still come and ask for those. But again, all the other uses wouldn't be allowed. Just come, if you want to move forward with that and develop that property, then do it through a platting process and then a rezoning. And then the rest of it just kind of goes into exceptions for when you grant some of those. Certain things fall into place on what you can do and can't do as far as fencing and some things like that. And then you get into a section that talks about minimum lot sizes. So as you go on to the next page here, you've got minimum lot sizes and yard requirements. So for the lot size, again, the TA district states it again, intended for unplatted tax lots and undivided quarter-quarter sections only. So therefore, if you need to subdivide the land smaller than that, then this probably is not, this zoning is not appropriate for you. We should talk about platting and then rezoning. The minimum lot size here is going to be 10.01. Now, there are many, many tax lots out there that are already smaller than 10.01 acres. That's fine. It's a lot of record. So if the city, because of an annexation, ends up rezoning those particular properties, that's fine based on this, because you can rezone at current ag lots of record that are being rezoned to TA. It's just the idea that if you come in then with a 40 acre tract and you want to divide it into 8 acre lots, your only option is to do a subdivision. And then you have to be able to meet the city's, you know, all the requirements for those subdivisions.
So if this goes into effect, and let's take the Hollow Road area.
Yep.
Okay. On the one hand, we like to have zones that are kind of complete in the same color.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end up in a situation here potentially where we're going to have zones that for a while are going to look like a checkerboard?
A little bit. Most of it will be TA. I mean, we're envisioning now, since it's already ag, that large swaths would become TA.
Okay, but when it becomes TA, mm-hmm. and somebody wants to, within that TA group or area, wants to make a development,
right?
Then that becomes a different color. And
correct.
Then if this part wants to become industrial, it becomes a different color.
Correct. But that already exists today. And if you went and looked at the zoning map, especially when in our 2 mile, the RRE, which is Rural Residential Estates, we've got multiple ones of those that are scattered all throughout our 2 mile jurisdiction. So it just partly depends upon where somebody wants to develop those. And those RRE ones can be done with large enough lots that you don't have to have city water and you don't have to have city sewer. You may have to improve the streets a little bit, you know, usually you want them hard surfaced of some kind, coming off of a hard surface highway, those kinds of issues. But you can still do those kinds of subdivisions anywhere in the 2 mile. That would be rezoned then to something different than TA, but they are little isolated developments based upon who wants to develop
right.
that property.
Yeah. I was thinking of closer to the perimeter of town, that it gets kind of...
Yeah. I'm assuming, again, we'll see what people want to do with their properties, but I'm assuming that you won't have very many areas where you'd end up with an isolated small lot that ends up being a TA lot by itself. You know, even now we see development occur where sometimes it kind of wraps around. I mean, if you look at Southern Hills and then Southern Ridge, those areas they still have some undeveloped properties around them. You know, on all three sides or four sides, if you will. So that's going to continue to happen at times.
Thank
you. And then the rest of it just goes into the other yard. Situations. Really, the numbers are all the same. I was trying to work with some language here that was a little easier to read and understand. Usually with ag, we've always said that you can have accessory buildings. The standard ag setback is if you're going to be using those buildings for having animals inside of them, it needs to be 50 feet away from the property line. If there aren't animals inside, they can be 25 feet. And that's not changing at all. Even though the red's here, I was messing around with the language. And then Jeff reminded me, I think we changed that a couple of years ago, and maybe you didn't know that. So more than likely, that's not going to change. But we're not changing any of the numbers here on the front or the rear or side yard setbacks. Aaron, scroll all the way down. I don't think there's anything else in this section other than the yards. Oh, maximum lot coverage. Right now in ag, there's no limits, which is really weird when you literally stop and think that, well, wow, a 40-acre tract, you could build a 40-acre building. And cover the whole thing if you wanted to, and we wouldn't stop you for that reason. obviously, people don't do that. We basically picked up the same language for maximum lot coverage and height as we have in that RRE district, so the rural residential estates. So you can go up to 40% of the lot coverage now, and a maximum height of 35 feet. And then I don't believe we made any changes to the rest of that section. So again, took general ag, made all those modifications, tried to greatly limit the kind of use that you can have in ag. But the whole intent and purpose is to keep it as ag, so the assessors look at it as ag and don't necessarily increase the base value of the property. But any questions for us as staff? Yes, Jim?
Didn't we have this argument with Art and that industrial place that want to come in and you want to get it annexed into the city for industrial or something? Are you going to go back to him and tell him he can go to transitional ag?
No, because we brought it into the city limits and he's marketing that property already. I mean, he already had an arrangement, and that was our argument with him. He didn't want it to be annexed until he actually sold it to somebody who was going to develop it, but he was aggressively marketing it.
Okay.
Yeah, and our point was, well, if you're going to market it, you've already indicated that you want it to be sold, therefore having it come into the city limits now just seems to be appropriate. So, good question. Any other questions for me?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I would move that we would approve it as presented, this rezone.
Yeah. Ordinance for rezoning. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved by Heinrich, second by Kading, to approve this ordinance rezoning.
It's actually a new addition to the zoning regulations.
Oh, I see. That's right. It's not amending it, it's...
Yeah, so it's a new section that's going to go in the book.
Okay.
And again, the reality is, and I probably should have mentioned this in the presentation, sorry, this doesn't place it anywhere. This just puts it in the book.
Puts it in the book.
In the future, we can come back with an actual rezone request.
Right, okay. Everyone understand that? I don't want to try to repeat it. Any questions on this anymore? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that also goes to City Council next week. Is there a report from staff?
Nothing else, I don't believe. Hopefully from Jeff. Just wish you all happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I make a motion to end.
I'll second.
Motion by Gating, second by Pulesco to adjourn. Please vote.